Howdy, and welcome to Bob the Lector. I'm Bob. The purpose of this podcast is to inspire Catholic lectors to bring their proclamation of God's Word to life. This episode is for the March 8th Sunday Mass's first reading. It's the third Sunday of Lent, Year A. A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? A little more and they will stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand as you go the staff with which you struck the river. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink." This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" The word of the Lord. Welcome to the third Sunday of Lent. We're getting close to the halfway mark. Let's get to it, shall we? I always start my own lector practice with preparation, which is not the external proclamation, but the internal discernment of the message. What is God saying here? What is His purpose? What is the meaning of this reading? Because if it doesn't mean anything to us, how can we as lectors make it mean anything to the congregation before us? Usually I aim for the heart and how the reading connects with that part of our spiritual anatomy. But this is not a heart reading. This one aims for the head, because this is a dramatic story told in the third person. Fun fact, this event is also referenced in today's psalm response from Psalm 95. There are three speaking roles in the reading. Here's the chronological order. First, the Israelites speak to Moses. Second, Moses speaks to God. Third, God speaks to Moses, action by Moses. Fourth, the Israelites speak to no one in particular, maybe to themselves. It's appropriate to talk about the context of today's story. God dramatically rescued the Israelites from their Egyptian captors, and the Israelites wander circuitously in the desert for 40 years on their way to the Promised Land. Before they reach it, God tests their allegiance to Him three times. In Exodus 15, after a three-day march across a waterless wasteland, they come to Marah, where they find water, but it's too salty to drink. Just like today, the people grumble against Moses, who appeals to the Lord, who turns their bitter water sweet. The second test is in Exodus 16, only a month and a half since they left Egypt. Yet again, the people complain against Moses, this time about their lack of food. God provides quail and manna. So we find ourselves in Exodus 17 with a third test of the Israelites' faith in God's providence. His people are once more complaining about the absence of water. For a third time, God provides. So the best advice here is to tell this story in an exciting and suspenseful manner, injecting personality into the different characters. What lessons do you get from this reading? We start with, in those days, in their thirst for water, the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "Why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock?" Emphasize those, thirst, grumbled, ever, just, die, thirst, children, and livestock. When you say grumbled, drop the pitch of your voice and add a roughness in the back of your throat for added weight. Insert a small pause after thirst. During the last two sentences, which are both questions spoken by the Israelites, use eye contact to personalize your connection with the people in the pews. Use a tone of voice and facial expression of anger and frustration. Make the people in the pews feel the Israelites' angst. Add a full pause after livestock. because we will shift from the Israelites speaking to Moses speaking. Next we have, "So Moses cried out to the Lord, 'What shall I do with this people? A little more and they will stone me.'" Emphasize cried, do, more, and stone. If you can do so authentically, add a throat tremble during cried for extra emotion. During Moses' dialogue, make eye contact with the congregation and use a tone of voice and facial expression that bring to life his desperation. Have a full pause after stone me, because the perspective will then shift to God speaking. The third section. The Lord answered Moses, "Go over there in front of the people, along with some of the elders of Israel, holding in your hand as you go the staff with which you struck the river." Stress along, holding, staff, and struck. For God's speaking part, consider using a tone of voice and facial expression portraying God's weariness with the lack of faith of his people. Conversely, you can also portray God as, once again, coming to the rescue of Moses and his chosen people. Quick sidebar. The last line that mentions the staff with which Moses struck the river refers to Exodus 7:17. It tells of the first of 10 plagues God inflicted upon the Egyptians. With this very same staff, Aaron struck the river in Egypt and turned all the water in the country into blood. Ironic that the same staff that renders water undrinkable in that story provides life-saving water in this one. The next section. "I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will flow from it for the people to drink." Use a stronger tone of voice for this section. By Moses' hand, God will save his people. Emphasize I, strike, water, and people. Note the Lord says he'll be standing in front of Moses. This creates a precedent, as Horeb is the mountain of God. Three chapters later, God delivers the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Horeb. Hundreds of years later, in 1 Kings 19:9, this is the same mountain on which Elijah is called, not by the wind, earthquake, or fire, but by a small whispering sound. So this is indeed a holy place, where God repeatedly reveals himself to his people. Put in a small pause after "strike the rock." Read straight through, "and the water will flow from it for the people to drink," without any pauses. Add a full pause after "drink." The last section. This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" Highlight did, presence, elders, Israel, Massah, Meribah, quarreled, tested, Lord, midst, and not. Use a slight upward lilt for did, as if anticlimactic. Of course Moses did what the Lord asked him. Have a small pause after did. Use a chant-like rhythm when you say, "in the presence of the elders of Israel." Use a downward lilt when you say, "of Israel." Quick sidebar. Massah means place of testing, and Meribah means place of quarreling, just like it says. For this final piece of dialogue spoken by the Israelites, use eye contact with the congregation to again connect with them as we close out this conversation. Use an annoyed facial expression and tone of voice. Say this with the same demeanor you would use in real life when you end a statement with, "or not." What comes to my mind is, "Are you coming or not?" directed at a slow-moving teenager. Mirror that annoyance and project it on the Israelites. Well, that's all for now. Thanks for listening. My hope is these ideas will help you find your authentic voice, so your proclamation of God's word will transform your listeners, whether they're in pain and broken or just going through the motions. Because the good news deserves great delivery. Visit us on the web at bobthelector.org, and we'll see you at the Ambo.